Okay, so today I'm talking to a man who has had a profound impact in my life. He is one of the co-founders of Codable. His name is Tomáš, and Tomáš, welcome to the podcast.
Hey there. Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Oh, great, great. Busy day, but you know, every day is busy. But at the same time, if you look at your work as you know, not work, but something you enjoy, then, you know, it's good to be busy.
Absolutely. So for the listeners of the podcast who don't know you, perhaps you can give us a very brief who you are, where you're from, and what you do day to day.
So my name is Tomáš Zaman. I come from Slovenia, which is a tiny 2 million people country in the heart of Europe. I've been there all my life, pretty much, and I'm the founder of Codable. We're in a very kind of dry description, we're an online outsourcing service for WordPress. But what we kind of really like to say is that we're connecting people in the WordPress world. So you could say we're Tinder for WordPress work, really.
Awesome. If my client starts swiping right on me, I'm going to start having trouble.
God forbid.
And the most important question, so I know that your history is as a developer. So what are you drinking today? Is it coffee or are you something else?
Well, that's a good question. And I normally don't drink coffee, but okay. I've had three today. I know for what reason. My wife asked me in the morning whether I want one, and I didn't have a really good night's sleep, so I said yes. And then, you know, we went to the gym, and after the gym, our trainer asked us whether we want some coffee, and I said yes. And then after lunch, another coffee. For some reason, like, honestly, this is maybe the first time in the history for me to drink that much coffee. But yeah, normally, I'm just on water.
Okay. Because I recall on your profile on the Codable website, the one thing about you is that you don't like coffee. Has that changed?
No, I still don't like it. But my wife discovered my love for cream. So it's So what she makes for me is cream with, you know, just a little bit of coffee. So it's more of a milky drink than a coffee one.
Awesome. That sounds interesting. I should try that. Cool. So because you co-founded Codable, which is, you know, this sort of, as you say, Tinder for WordPress, I find it very interesting that your history is actually not with WordPress. When you met Per before you created Codable, you were using a CMS called Typo3. And perhaps you'd like to give us some history behind how you ended up developing for Typo3, kind of what took you down that path.
Sure. Do we have enough time? It's a long story, but I'll shorten it. So basically I was 19 at the time when I discovered my interest for development, really. Before that, I was just, playing video games, as much as I could. But in the university, a friend of mine asked me to design him a website, and I told him I have no experience with design or websites. But he said, you know, not a big issue. He just needs an existing website cloned. So off I went onto the interwebs and found a bunch of tutorials on Photoshop. And yeah, I copied that and I didn't even get paid. I got like a remote controlled car as a form of payment. But it was, you know, my first step into this venture. And moving forward a couple of months, I was learning HTML and CSS, some PHP. And yeah, by that time, only 6 months after my first design, so to speak, I approached my university professor thinking I'm a big hacker and I want to create a website for our university. And luckily for me, he said yes, and I couldn't believe my luck. And at the time, he didn't. I didn't have a company, so when a form of payment or the question of it came up, I said, okay, I'll make you a website. And you guys can buy me a brand new MacBook Pro 17-inch. And they said yes again. which was amazing, but they had a requirement because their intranet, like the university's intranet, was written in Typo 3 or developed with Typo 3. They asked me whether I could develop, not whether I could, but that I must develop the website using Typo 3, which was a big deal because I had to learn it, and this learning curve for Typo 3 is like vertical line and it goes high. So I had to spend quite a significant time on the browsing through the internet. In particular, I had to go through German, and I don't speak German, pages and tutorials, because Typo 3 is really strong in Germany and Scandinavia as well, especially for enterprise websites. So yeah, I spent, you know, 7 months or so developing the site, but I succeeded. We launched the website for the university. I got my MacBook Pro, and yeah, from there on, I just kind of decided this is what I want to do professionally. So I went on to develop a website for yet another university. Then I met Per, basically, because after I completed my second biggest website, I got twins, as in I got kids. So we moved with my wife to a very remote part of the country. So what I needed is a source of income again, being a new father and all. So I went on to Elance at the time and worked there on Typo 3 websites. In the meanwhile, did my certification, which at the time meant that you had to drive to another country. I was lucky because it was only Vienna, so mm-hmm. I only had to drive like 3.5 hours to get there to take my certification exam, which wasn't easy, honestly. And then I could sell my services, you know, by a higher rate. Okay. Yeah. And during this process, as I said, I met Per, for whom I did. So he had an agency, a web development agency in general, but they were mostly focusing on Typo 3. And they hired me to clean up a couple of websites, really.
We'll get into the Codable chat in a second. So I'm glad you kind of hinted us towards that direction. But before we get there, mm-hmm. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about, a bit more about the sort of process of becoming, you know, this Typo 3 developer and web developer and that kind of thing. So you were saying that you were 19 when your friend asked you for the website. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. Was everything self-taught? Did you go on any kinds of courses or tertiary education, or anything like that? Or was everything, you know, internet, Google?
Here's a disclosure. I pirated the shit out of lynda.com at the time. However, I did. So when I started to earn money, I did had an account with them, and I kept paying for a long time, like a monthly fee, just because in order to make up for that, because I couldn't honestly, when I was, you know, 19 and learning and self-learning, I couldn't really afford it. But later when I could, I did pay it back, so to speak. Everything is self-taught. The university I went on was Biotechnical University here in Ljubljana. I'm an almost engineer of wood technology. By almost, I mean I didn't finish my diploma, but everything else I did. Everything, basically all my knowledge was acquired by myself on the internet, some books.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. And then I love the story about you negotiating with the university about the MacBook Pro. So that, to me, that sounds like from an early age, you already had this sort of negotiator, entrepreneur, wangler type attitude.
I would not really. I would say I just try to push my luck, and sometimes I succeed.
Okay, awesome. Something that I find interesting that I just thought about now with you specifically, because everybody else that I've interviewed so far, their first language has been English. And this is the first time I'm actually interviewing somebody whose first language is not English. Mm-hmm. And this is more a question about, you know, Slovenia and sort of Europe in general. do you find that, and the fact that you've spoken, you mentioned that before we recorded this, you've spoken at about a dozen WordCamps. Do you find it nervous, scary to speak in not your first language at WordCamps and podcasts like this, or is it something that comes naturally to you?
Honestly, I prefer it. It comes by now, it just comes more natural than my mother language, honestly. Okay. I mean, I do realize it's not perfect, but I also know that people can understand me. And in fact, when I do podcasts with some of my Slovenian friends that do them, I often find myself thinking, okay, what is this phrase in Slovene? Because I forget what even the company in the company, we all speak English. So it's much easier to start thinking in English. So what I do often is when I have to, I struggle when it comes to Slovene language.
Okay.
Oh yeah, no, I've always had a knack for languages, English in particular. Well, the gaming world gave me that. I played a lot of online games, World of Warcraft, if anybody remembers that gem. I've had plenty of practice.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. That's very interesting. Cool. In terms of your development history, if we look at from the time that you created that first website for the friend to the point that you not necessarily met Per, but the point that you guys started founding or putting together Codable, what did that timeline look like? Sort of how many years was that roughly?
Let's say two, give or take.
Two,
I mean,
give or take.
We worked together on the projects for his agency for about two years before Codable became an idea.
Okay, awesome. And did you have any experience with any other CMSs or frameworks or anything like that besides Typo3 before Codable?
No. Kind of since I've learned Typo3 quite in depth, it was my go-to tool for, yeah, pretty much all the time. Even for the sites I did for a couple of friends that didn't warrant a CMS that complex, I still used it because it was just second nature to me, I guess.
Absolutely. Fair enough. So I would assume by now, I mean, I know that as the CTO of Codable, you're probably not doing much WordPress work. It's more kind of, you know, stuff related to how Codable works and that kind of thing. Correct me if I'm wrong, but the current Codable website is in WordPress. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Did you set that up? Did somebody else set that up?
I should say no comment at this point, but I'm gonna give you all details. So the problem, or not the problem, it was a problem. So we faced as the company, we were faced with a problem, and that was, do we focus on the application, the one that connects the clients with the experts, or do we focus on the website? Now, with our limited resources at the time, we figured, okay, we're just gonna do the bare minimum of a website in order to have something up, and then focus on the app. So yes, the current website was built by me, and that's something I'm not proud of, or I am at the same time, because it was honestly my first WordPress website. But yeah, I mean, with 3 years behind it now, it shows its age, which is why I'm quite proud to say that we're currently working on a new one properly. But there is no ETA. Well, there is ETA. I'm just not disclosing it. website, and we have a complete dedicated team working on it. But yeah, cool. More on that soon.
Awesome. I'm excited to roll that out. I actually wanted to ask you that question the other day, so I'm glad you brought it up now. So the reason I asked that question was, and obviously, you know, your Typo3 experience was probably more in depth than your WordPress experience. So I don't necessarily want to go too much into that, but I'm always curious. I've had some Drupal experience. I've had some Joomla experience. I've had some WordPress experience. I'm always interested to know how developers from other CMSs compare different CMSs and, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on Typo3 versus WordPress, either positive or negative.
Yeah, definitely one of the strongest points of WordPress is its community. The vast knowledge being shared online is just unprecedented and uncomparable to the fairly minimal community that Typo3 has, right? And that results in fewer contributions, fewer tutorials, fewer docs. That's a negative kind of side of Typo3. However, the positive side is that it's quite much more geared for huge websites. For example, we've built a website in Typo3 that was served on 8 different domains. Each domain had its own language, but the tree structure was the same, and the tree structure itself had more than 2,000 pages, with each language having a leaf on that tree structure, if you will, and each language with their own editor. And the best part, everything that you just heard comes right out of the box. There is there wasn't, I mean, of course we use plugins or extensions, as they're called in Typo3 world, but it comes right out of the box with all that functionality. Because of that, it's really much harder to learn. Much more maintenance is needed. Bigger staff, dare I say. So the difference is on the other hand, with WordPress, it's really easy to get started. Which is what I think WordPress is, you know, the philosophy is all about, to get started easily and build something in your own free time, if you will.
That's a very good point. I also find quite interesting. I was following somebody on Twitter the other day. You probably heard of the name Tom McFarlane. He tweets quite a lot about WordPress development. Mm-hmm. And he was actually making a comment about, you know, people in the WordPress space tend to not step out of the space and experience other things. And I consider myself fortunate in that I came from a non-WordPress space into WordPress and then discovered the community. And that's what dragged me in and kept me here. But I had all this other experience. And what I loved about the WordPress space was there just seems to be a general, I don't know what you want to call it, but WordPress developers tend to also be bloggers. Mm-hmm. Because they got into WordPress for blogging first, and then they either got into development or they were developers already. So they're always talking about what's happening and new technologies and what they wanted to do and how. And while WordPress itself might not necessarily be the most modern or using the most modern tools, the plugin developers and the theme developers are trying to use the most modern tools. So I just found, as you say, the wealth of knowledge and the wealth of people talking about all these different things is so much greater in the WordPress space.
Mm-hmm. Plus the one issue that I noticed in Typo3 ecosystem was at some point its main author, the developer who first wrote it, stepped away, letting everybody know that he's not interested in the project leadership anymore. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, was the beginning of its, not downfall, that might sound a bit drastic, but I would say diminished impact, because then a committee formed, and then you, when you have leadership by committee, then a lot of opinions float around and need to be concentrated and discussed about and whatnot. So I really like that Automatic, or Matt Mullenweg in particular, took this leadership into his own hands. You know, whether we like it or not, it works. I mean, we are where we are, you and I personally, and the community as a whole, because of his thoughts, his ideas, his leadership, right? So I strongly believe that a good leader is needed, even if sometimes people don't disagree with all his actions, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, I don't think there are any leaders in the world who've been just agreed with all the time. But as you say, it's important to have, you know, that sort of one captain of the ship who is the guiding force. That's absolutely true. Mm-hmm. Cool. So I think that now is a pretty good time for us to talk about Codable. I'm sure you can talk about Codable all day. I know I can talk about Codable all day. So we've discussed briefly already your sort of, you know, introduction to working with Per and how that all came about. So I'm gonna try and isolate, because there's quite a few podcasts where both you and he have discussed the history, and there's a few articles that I've read which I'll link up to in the show notes. But I'm going to ask specific questions that either I felt weren't asked or weren't discussed or whatever, or I just find interesting. Mm-hmm. And the first question I want to ask is, who was the person who came up with the idea for Codable? Was it a team sort of idea?
Because I was very frustrated with the fact that I had to compete with poorly skilled developers on other platforms that were so much cheaper that I had to constantly invest a lot of time into bidding against them. So how do I bid in Europe against somebody that's working from a under or less developed country that can work for $4 an hour, right? So how do I do that? And it frustrated me endlessly. And by the time I was already working with Pear almost full time, but I still onboarded a project here and there to either, you know, get some extra cash in or fill my weekends with something or whatnot. So I quickly asked Pear, because we've developed, you know, we were working for about 2 years together by then, and we developed this friendship, really, this rapport. And I knew he is a good businessman, and I knew I'm a bad businessman. So he was, in my eyes, and still is, honestly, the perfect co-founder one could wish to have. Because I get a lot of questions from my friends that are highly business oriented but need a developer, and they constantly ask me, how do you find a technical co-founder? Because it always seems that the best companies or best performing, or, you know, best in any given circumstance is two people, one that worries about the business side of things and the other one that worries about technical side of things. And we've had that chemistry, if you will. We still have it. I still love doing my parts, which are more technical, and Per still loves doing his, which are more leadership / businessy decisions and whatnot. So it's been great ever since, and I would do it all over again in a heartbeat.
Awesome. So the next question then is, and I think this has been discussed, but I want to kind of dig into it a little bit deeper. And it almost is a little bit, how can I say, when you start a business, there are always some kind of hard decisions that you have to make, and they're generally about, you know, where can we make money? Yeah. And obviously WordPress was where we can make money. So as someone who was a Typo 3 developer and didn't really have much WordPress experience, how did you end up choosing WordPress?
Just because it seemed the best opportunity to make money, honestly. So I was fairly young. I mean, I was still below 30s. That's what I, yeah, I'm still young. Anyway, I wanted to, you know, I was always an entrepreneurial by heart, or my mind was. So I wanted to get rich, if I'm, you know, completely honest. I want to make a company that will be a huge success and then become rich. And then, you know, you read all these Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg stories, and you think, oh, I mean, I want to dare myself to push it, right? However, once the story of Codable actually started, and the longer it goes, the less important that is, or I can say not important at all, right? Because we've been profitable for quite a while, and now more and more meeting people like you, the experts on Codable or the clients on Codable, and just the fact the fact that we see or hear people tell how we change their lives is there's no money that could compare to that, right? Mm-hmm. And plus, of course, since we are a business and businesses do exist to make money, I am no longer that kind of poor developer in his pajamas at home, broke all the time, frustrated for not having money. So all things kind of come together nicely. So now it's from now on, not from now on, we've been focused on this for quite a while, is just to make a bigger impact on more people's lives, to really shape what online outsourcing is, because it's been a curse word of sorts for so long, because so many people have been burned. And we just had a workshop not even a month ago when we asked all the team members, like, where do you see Codable in 5-10 years? And most of us, if not all, said that we want to define globally of how online outsourcing works. Now, don't be scared. We have no intentions to leave WordPress behind. We would like to influence other services that are outside of WordPress to work in similar ways that we do, right?
That's awesome. I mean, I can see already, for those listening to this podcast who don't know Codable, we have our own internal expert Slack where all the experts, well, most of them are on board, and a lot of the Codable staff are on board. So we often will have discussions about projects, and I'm seeing a lot more clients are coming to Codable for Magento work, for Laravel work, for non-WordPress stuff. And that's exciting. You know, if we can apply the same Codable guidelines and principles to the rest of the freelancing world, everybody just wins. You know, clients get better work, developers get paid better. I mean, I remember I still do it, and whenever I do it, I laugh because I have you over my shoulder telling me that I'm not doing it right. But I remember you did a talk once about to-dos in code are a sign that a developer is not doing his job properly or under stress or something like that, because it means you didn't have enough comfortable time to get the work done properly. And that is so important in that I think part of it is because of this whole sort of concept of open source being free. And so we feel like we're scared to charge for open source based development. So it's always about cutting price. But once you understand that your worth is more than what you think it is, and you can charge accordingly, you can take your time to do it properly, and you can develop properly, and you can build properly, and you can hand over projects that you feel proud to hand over. And that shows in the work. You know, the client definitely sees the benefit of having a product that has been worked on by somebody who wants to do it. And I think that for me is the big thing that Codable has enabled for the experts.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
You just proved that we're doing something right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So the next question I want to ask you, at least the next series of questions, is more about, you know, what you're doing now and how your job has changed. Obviously, well, I assume you're not doing much Typo 3 work anymore. And in my mind, so Tomas is shaking his head there now. In my mind, a CTO is more of a sort of force multiplier, not so much, you know, getting stuck in. But I also know that you've been doing some getting stuck in work lately. So what is your average day look like?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because a lot of days differ from one another, sometimes quite heavily, honestly. This week alone, I've been working on wireframing a landing page. I've been working on upgrading our server stack. I've been granting permissions for a new team member. What else? We've had a management meeting, and we've had a couple of planning calls for our new website. So as you can see, pretty much everything that includes computers, I would say. So I'm not involved in legal stuff or accountant things. I don't know how it's called even. As you can see, I'm not a big fan of that. I mean, obviously it's needed, but thank God I have Pear for that. So I'll leave that to him. Technical stuff mostly.
Okay, awesome. And then the next question that I want to ask is more about sort of the team and how did that all come together? Were you involved in the process of hiring the Codable team? Was that all on Per's head? Did you share it? Because obviously I can only assume that building that, I mean, the team is very distributed globally. I mean, we've got Rally and David who are in the States. We've got Christopher who's in the UK. You know, there are people in, I think in Denmark, people in Slovenia. So how did that all come about?
I'm not supposed to say it, but
you'd
be surprised. I will say it anyway.
Am I going to get a nasty email from Per after this podcast goes live?
I don't think so, no. But what I wanted to say, we improvise a lot. I mean, most of the companies that I've met in the past year or so, I noticed that they're no different. Everybody, not all the processes in every company are defined, and every department, regardless how big and small, has their chaotic moments, and so do we. So when it comes to hiring, it's really everything. So what we've done, I've hired a couple of early employees. Per hired later employees that are now in our customer support because he always led our customer support. And he started to onboard, instead of hiring just people from the internet, so to speak, he hired them from our pool of experts. So quite a few team members now used to be Codable experts, and they were given an opportunity to work directly for us, which they happily accepted. Then some of our developers were hired by our first developer, Matyash, who's also the only Slovene, a part of me, in the company. So he wrote a couple of amazing, how do you call it, descriptions or job opportunities, and we put them on weworkremotely.com, which is a simple job board by 37 Signals, or they call Basecamp now or whatever. And we've had lots of success. Like all of our developers, we got them there. And even David, who's our head of our customer support, we got him there as well. So we basically, when it comes to hiring, we have a management call and decide who is the best person to lead that process. We have it documented, and then they do it, and then they kind of get, you know, on average we get, like, I mean, for non-support positions or even support positions, we get 50 to 100 people. So it's their job to narrow it down to four people. And then we decide together who's the best candidate. But that being said, Codable is relatively small company. It's like 15 of us, the core team. We hire maybe 2-3 people per year. So we're not trying to hire or grow in general too fast. We kind of like, not too slow, but just fast enough that it's still manageable and you don't explode from worrying too much.
Okay. Awesome. The next question relates to the sort of beginnings of the Codable expert onboarding. I mean, now we have these great internal processes. We have the vetting team. We have all that kind of stuff. So the first question is around, how did you go about being a non-WordPress developer? How did you go about finding those first few experts and making sure that they were up to scratch?
We cheated. we did cheat a system. We did, I won't say which system, so that will kind of... Yeah, but we posted a job, a fake job, on a couple of other freelancing platforms at the time. We made up a project. We didn't really kind of plan to go through with it. We got a couple of applicants. Well, we got many of them, but we sifted through and found 10 that were kind of acceptable. And we got in touch with them. we said, hey, would you, this is not a real project. We're building something for WordPress specifically. Would you join the platform? And they joined. Most of them, some of them are still with us, still working through Codable today. and yeah, that's how we got the initial ones. And then they started to bring their friends, if you will, or people that they know. And then we kind of grew our experts mouth to mouth. And the bigger we get, the easier it is to get them. At any given point, we have 100 to 200 people on the waiting line to join Codable, because by now the network effect is so strong. They've learned, as in the applicants learned the bonuses or the value that we provide for the expert, our minimum hourly rate, our code of conduct and everything, that they just want to become part of it, right?
Mm. Absolutely. And then when you and Per started Codable, was it a case of were you doing all the work on nights and weekends, or did you get some kind of business loan or investment that enabled you to do the work while not worrying about money? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, of course I can. I was broke. I was broke all the time. and I worked all the time, but still I was broke. So yeah, I honestly, when we started, I didn't really have any savings. Luckily Per had some, so he basically invested some of his own money in me. Just barely so I could survive and not worry about, you know, having my car taken away or anything like that. And yeah, this is how, and I had a couple of friends that had some steady jobs. They would loan me a couple of grand so that I could, yeah, as I said, survive really, and me and my family. And then we got our first, after we launched the first version of Codable, we got an investment of $75,000 from three angels that recognized our efforts after a year or so, that we were both kind of on a very, very thin line. And they said, okay, we're going to help you, because these three angels were also our personal friends, with money. So they said, okay, let's invest some money into Parent Tomáš, because they've been so passionate, so dedicated. I've been working all the time. I've been working weekend. I've been working just on Codable. Like, I didn't do anything else because I was so in love with the idea of Codable. Well, I still am, but yeah, that I would work night and day and weekends and holidays, Christmases. It did not matter. I wanted to get Codable out in front of the people, right?
Awesome. And have you reached a point now where you can take some time off?
Oh, yes, I do take. Awesome. I do take. Now, well, it only took me two burnouts to realize it. I would still, I don't know, up to maybe last year, early last year, when I burned out just after New Year's, I felt really bad. Like, it was like 2 months or so where I was really unproductive, right? And I felt bad. And because I felt bad, I was even less productive. And it's, you know, a spiral of death, I call it. Although luckily I didn't die. So I've decided then that I should invest more time in my well-being. And then I kind of forced myself to stop working that much, go home, you know, no later than 5. I do some work in the evenings, but it's non-mandatory. It's, you know, something I enjoy doing, like enjoy the most. I skydive a lot. I spend time with my kids and my wife. So yeah, I mean, I needed to learn it the hard way, but I did. I'm happy I did. And now the life's become more balanced, if you will.
Awesome. With the odd WordCamp Europe trips.
Yes, those are the best trips.
Absolutely. It's quite interesting because the Tomáš that I know from speaking at WordCamps and online interviews, and the Tomáš that I met at WordCamp Europe, is almost two different guys. And the Tomáš at WordCamp is way more fun to be with. No offense, but you can just see. What I'm trying to get at is, I could see your love for the team, your passion to be with everybody, you're in, you know, not craziness, but I can see you're enjoying being with everybody. Mm-hmm. And for me, I mean, you know, I consider you and Pert kind of, you know, the bosses, but not really, if you know what I mean. You're not my boss, but you kind of are, if you know what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And to be able to meet you both in person and just see how
crazy, you can say.
Yeah, crazy is one way. But just, you know, how much you love the, you know, not so much just the team, but the experts themselves. You know, it's not just about making money. It's about the community of the experts. And we're all in this together. And you know, and the fact, I mean, you stood there at WordCamp Europe and shouted, I love you all. You know, just you have that love for all of us, I think is really amazing and really, really inspiring. And I think that's part of the reason why once we become experts and we see that and we feel that and we sense that, we just want to make it work. Mm-hmm. So thank you for that.
You're more than welcome. I've honestly, it just comes naturally. I'm the sort of person that likes the attention in general. I do have some experience in public speaking and I love people. Like I'm a quite an extrovert myself. Mm. So it always, groups of people always give me energy. But if that group is the people I know and care about, then there's even more energy, as you have seen yourself in Belgrade.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm so sad I couldn't stay longer, but anyway, it's one of those things. The question that I wanted to ask you, and this is really a personal question, but what I discovered when I joined Codable is that we really are a family. We look out for each other. We look after each other. We're all working together. Was that an ideal that you had when you started, or did that just come about because of the way you put the business together?
That is the best coincidence or the result. Like when we started, we had this idea of experts not having to race to the bottom, to not having to compete with one another. That was there all along. However, for me personally, in my wildest dreams, I would never imagine that people would actually, you know, use the term family and come together to WordCamps and hug each other and have fun together and, you know, travel to one another. That is something I'm maybe even the most proud of what Codable has become. Right?
Absolutely.
So I love it. I don't have the words to describe this awesomeness of people respecting each other, helping each other, treating each other as a family. Honestly, I'm speechless.
Awesome. Yeah, I am myself. It's something I've never experienced before and something I don't think I'll ever experience again, but I don't plan on ever leaving. So.
Perfect. Then cool. No problem.
So I think that covers everything that I wanted to really ask you about Codable. For those of you listening to this podcast, there are a few other podcasts with both Pert and Tomáš that I'll link up in the show notes. I highly recommend you listen to them. If you're interested in becoming a Codable expert, just pop onto the Codable website. There is a form that you can fill in. It's changed my life and I'm sure it can change yours. And this is not a, you know, a podcast promoting Codable. It just happens to be about Codable. To kind of wrap us up, I always like to finish off with what I call these sort of hacking short form questions. Mm-hmm. The answer to these questions, if they're a one word answer, that's fine. If it's a long sentence, that's fine. So don't feel like you have to sort of do anything specific. And if you don't have an answer, you can just say, I don't have an answer for that. Because some of these might have changed because of your day-to-day work. But if you could change one aspect of WordPress today, what would that be and why?
It's not going to be a long answer. I just need to compose it properly in my head. I would do a reset, like one off or every 5 year break backwards compatibility. I get it. Like the business decision is probably the correct one, but since I'm a technical person, I hate it from a technical perspective because I think WordPress out of the box could be significantly better performance wise. And this kind of bothers me the most.
Fair enough. Absolutely. And that's the great thing about these questions. They're all your opinion. So then besides, and let's group it together and say, besides the web defaults of WordPress and Typo3, so PHP, JavaScript, HTML, CSS, what other technical programming languages or whatever are you familiar with?
Bash, Ruby. I spend a lot of time in Z Shell. On all our servers, we run ZSH. Those I guess apart from I do have some Python experience, but I wouldn't kind of brag about it.
Experience counts. Then when you are coding, what IDE or editor or code editor do you use and why?
Oh, Sublime. Because it's written in Python. Well, not, I don't care that it's written in Python. I cared about that it's fast and it's lightning fast and it's light years ahead, you know, in front of everything.
Cool. So awesome. Yeah,
Sublime.
Awesome. Then when you're developing, and you probably haven't done this for a while, but when you were developing a site, or maybe now if you were to develop a new site, what type of development environment, Vega, Docker, or local, what would you use and why?
Docker. We moved everything to Docker about 2 years ago. All our stack is running on Docker. Apart from WordPress. WordPress didn't want to play nice, so we just use a regular instance for that. But I would still prefer Docker simply because I like this. A soft spot for shiny new objects, and Docker is still shiny enough that it's still very interesting for me. If you ask me that in 2 years, it will maybe change. But right now, and I also know Docker by now since we moved all our infrastructure to it. And I just find it easy, honestly. It's well documented. It's slowly becoming an industry standard.
Cool. Awesome. And then I don't see this on my list, but I'll ask it anyway. Mac, Windows, Linux?
Oh, Mac. Mac. There is no, I can explain shortly. Windows are a no-no I won't go there. Linux is nice. Like I'm a fan of Linux/Unix, but I'm also a huge fan of UX, which I think what differentiates Apple or the OS, Mac OS apart from Linux. So yeah.
Cool. And what kind of machine are you currently working on?
MacBook Pro 216, I think it is, with 12 gig of RAM.
So no touch bar yet.
No. And I honestly, it's been messing with me a bit lately. I think it's graphics card's fault. But I'm waiting until September because I think it'll be high time to buy a new one then.
Awesome. Then, this is more of a sort of tips and tricks and tools, but if you look at your day-to-day sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Not performance, productivity, you know, tools that help you be productive. So maybe things like time tracking or note apps or whatever the case may be. What are the sort of top three tools that you're using every day?
Running shoes.
Okay.
Yeah. Honestly, it's for me, it's when I'm not as productive because I didn't go for a run or I wasn't physically active, because developers and business owners are very sedentary people, if you will. And it shows if you just sit for too long and not move. Number one productivity tool for me is running shoes.
I like that.
But by far. Other than that, whatever works. I'm a very, honestly, maybe even too chaotic person. So I thrive in a mess. So what I have is just a notes kind of pen and paper next to my laptop, and I scribble everything there. And it's pretty much all there. Apart from the events or, you know, Google event, like calendar events. So all the meetings, everything I have there, it's been a huge lifesaver for me. Like Google Calendar, I use it quite a lot and extensively. I use Trello to a degree, and that's pretty much it.
Okay, awesome. So I'd like to talk about the running thing very quickly, because I tend to agree with you on that one. So what is your running schedule like? How does it fit into your day?
I don't have any, coincidentally. Okay. So what I want to do is I want to run 4 to 5 times a week, and I do it. I just, you know, come from home from work. I put up my running shoes and I go for a run. I don't have a regime. Well, I'm right now developing it, honestly, because I've been running for quite a while. I started last year. Then I had a shoulder surgery late last year and I couldn't until March when I started again. And now the problem is becoming that I'm getting too slim, as in I'm losing muscle weight, muscle mass. So what I've started to do is switch regular jogging for interval training, okay. Because interval training is much better. Like it has almost the same caloric take, if you will, but it doesn't eat into your muscle mass. So okay. What I'm doing now is I just warm up, then I run really fast for like 30 seconds, and then 1 minute walk, and then again sprint 30 seconds. Interval training, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I love it. It's less boring because jogging on it's in itself becomes quite boring. So intervals are a good way to spice it up, if you will.
Absolutely. Out of interest sake, I think there's like an official term I remember coming across a while ago, and it's the word is fartlek, and that apparently that's like some kind of interval training program. So that just popped into my head. Okay. Then something you mentioned earlier, and you mentioned again now, that I'd like to dig into, if you don't mind. You mentioned about you come home from work. So you have a separate office space from your home. You don't work from home?
Correct. I have an office here in the municipality building rented, which is literally 3 minutes walk from home. But with 4 kids, I couldn't possibly work from home because there's always something. Mm-hmm. And there's always, either one is sick or my wife needs help with moving something or whatever. Like I know that if I'm given a choice, I will rather procrastinate, if you will, right? Not always, but sometimes, and it shows. But if I change clothes and I'm not in my pajamas and I have to come to the office, mm-hmm. then here I will focus on getting the actual work done. So it's a big change for me. I honestly can't work from home.
I know what you mean. I went through the same thing when I went from working for a company to working from home. I worked from home for about the first year. Mm-hmm. And I just, there's just too much going on. You're too flexible, especially for those of you who are working for yourself, when you get married and have kids, your wife and the kids become more important whether you like it or not. And it's not a bad thing, but you need to be able to move away. Yeah. And in about September last year, I was fortunate enough to be able to move to a separate office that's away from home. But ironically, it's in my father-in-law's office, his home office. Mm-hmm. So it's about 5 minutes away and my wife can just pop in whenever she needs me. And it's just made such a difference in my life. You know, I can just get stuck in, head down, get work done. So anybody working from home, I recommend you get yourself an office that's separate. cool. Mm-hmm. Then I know you're the kind of guy that's always learning new things. Mm-hmm. So what are you currently learning?
Honestly, calisthenics, which again has nothing to do with computers.
That's fine.
I've kind of set my personal goal to learn a couple of calisthenics moves by my birthday, which is early next year. Okay. So I've given myself plenty time to learn it. This is the first time after a long while of learning new stuff about computers or programming or servers, development, whatever, that I've bought actually 2 books that have nothing to do with computers and are, you know, just something else. And I love it. I love this from time to time to switch, topics entirely.
Awesome. Something that I found interesting that I discovered over the last while, specifically about myself, but about others as well, is that when it comes to learning new things, I've realized that I'm more of a book person. So I struggle to watch a video and learn something. I like to have a book that I can read. Mm-hmm. You've mentioned about books and online. Are you also more of a book person, or are you more of a video or blog reading, learning person?
Oof. That's a good question. I think I'm quite, equally influenced by everything. I like to have books, and I do have them, but on the same topics that are in these books, I often do some research on the internet, read some articles, watch some videos. So I kind of complement one thing with the other. But I mean, sometimes if, you know, a series of videos or tutorials is really good, then I'll just go in and binge watch them. Or if I have a good book, I'll read it in a couple of days, even if it's 400 pages, no problem whatsoever. But in general, I would say I divide my attention to all of the possible channels just to extract as much information as possible.
Okay, awesome. I always find, and it might just be the videos that I'm watching, but I find when it comes to videos, if it's something that I have, let's say, 50% knowledge on and I want to learn the other 50, then I start getting bored while they're going through the beginning stuff and I want to start clicking through and then you kind of lose track. Mm-hmm. Whereas with the book, it's easy to scan what you know and then focus on what you don't know. But I mean, that's just, you know, how everybody's different.
Yeah.
Cool. Then the last question is what I always find interesting to ask this. If you could go back in time to the day before your friend came to you and said, I need a website. Mm-hmm. And if you could give yourself one piece of information, what would that be and why?
None at all. None really? At all. Yes. Because I think that all the ups and downs got me to precisely where I am right now. And I've had to learn some things the hard way, some things the easy way, but all of it is my story and I wouldn't change a single thing up to today.
Awesome.
So I would, if I had a, you know, time machine, I would probably go back and maybe go have a beer with a friend or something, you know, just out of curiosity about how time machines work rather than impact my life in any way.
Awesome. That's really cool. So no regrets.
No regrets.
Awesome stuff. That's really cool to hear. Cool. It's kind of everything I've wanted. I mean, I would love to talk to you for the rest of the afternoon, but we've got, you know, jobs and wives and kids. It's been really great talking to you. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to meet you before we did this. So we already kind of knew each other, you know, to some degree, and I think it just makes it more easy and more comfortable. Mm-hmm. I don't normally do this, but I'm going to give you the opportunity to what would you like to say about Codable to the listeners out there?
Thank you.
So no pressure.
Yeah. Oh man, that's a surprise. Anyway, Codable, I hope by now we've kind of outlined that we provide an amazing group of experts, who Jonathan is a part of, and we love Jonathan and we love all our experts. And we also are very proud that our experts perform an amazing job or amazing jobs for all our clients. And we always go the extra length to make sure that everybody's happy in this transaction.
Awesome. That's the Codable that I know and love.
Thank you.
Cool. So if anybody wants to find you online, where can they, are you on Facebook? Are you on Twitter? Are you on Instagram? Where can they find you?
Yes, I'm on Facebook, Tomas.Zaman. So you can put it on the footnotes. I put a lot of personal stuff on Facebook, but I also have a lot of business or WordPress friends on Facebook because that is really the most interesting part, right? I mean, everybody knows some technical aspects of one another, right? But not what they do in their personal. I just think it's much more personal, which I like. I do want to meet people behind the code. I, you know, what their fears are, what they enjoy, you know, it's much more human, which is why I don't use LinkedIn, because this professional world, while I do consider myself a professional, is not necessarily an honest one, if you will. But Facebook is like the real honest. I mean, all the data breaches and all the crap that they do aside. Okay. I tweet from time to time. Same. So my first name, my last name, no dots. I do tweet mostly around WordCamps, but then nothing because I don't really know what I would tweet, right? I'm not tweet inspired, if you will. So yeah, Facebook by far, or, you know, my Codable email, which can be found on our website.
Great. Awesome. Well, Tomáš, thank you very much. It's been lovely talking to you. I'm looking forward to seeing you hopefully next year. And, you know, this sounds a little bit almost personal, you know, sort of personal benefit, but all the best with the Codable going forward. I look forward as an expert and as a person who likes to see businesses grow and improve and change the world. I look forward to seeing where Codable goes. So all the best for that. Lovely to have you on. Anything that you want to say before we wrap up?
Just thank you for having me, Jonathan.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you.
Cool.